In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Arimathea, and Tetrachonis, and Lysias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And as is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with your repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that therefore does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and what are we to do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusations, and be content with your wages. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's sister, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked John in prison.
Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this new year. We thank you for this new day, and we thank you for your word to us. We pray that we will hear your voice speaking to us this morning. Amen. Well, I don't know where you stand on New Year's resolutions. Most people I ask say that their resolution is no more resolutions after another failed attempt last year. I have all the standard ones all the time. They're not just New Year, they're kind of New Week sometimes, because it just goes that badly. But be a bit healthier. I've eaten so much over Christmas, for which I give thanks. But now I need to just kind of stop. There's just food everywhere. So healthy eating, more exercise, be more patient with the children, all those kind of things. Maybe you can relate to those ongoing challenges in life. One of my more specific ones for this year is I'm going to try and read the whole of the Bible this year. So I'm following one of those plans where you read a bit each day, and of course it's as straightforward as that, that in a year's time you'll have read every word in the Bible. It's really difficult, actually. I don't know if anyone's ever attempted it or thought about it or even done it or even doing it this year. But I tell you that with some nervousness, because what it means is that hopefully you can encourage me in this resolution, but you can also ask me in April, when I'm meant to be halfway through 2 Chronicles, how it's going, and you can see how convincing my answer is when I try and tell you that I've kept up with it. But that's the plan, to keep up with the reading the Bible in a year. And this bit that we just heard in this reading, this beginning bit, will be one of the sections which will provide me with a challenge to keep reading and to keep reading every word, because as we heard, it's a list of who was in charge at the time. So we get a list of historical names and what their job was and who they were in charge of. And that's a small example of where in the Bible you get quite long lists of historical detail, and they're quite hard going sometimes. And my tendency in a reading like this would almost be kind of like, yeah, blah, 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 let's get to the action. But actually, there's something really important going on with this introduction. So important that I'm going to actually open my notes that I've prepared for this sermon, which I've forgotten about, and make sure I read them. But what's going on with this introduction before I'm tempted to skip over it to the action? Well, partly it's a reminder from Luke, the gospel writer, that what he's telling us about is real historical stuff. And he's telling his readers that this actually happened, and this is when it happened, and here's who was in charge, and you can check it out for yourself. Maybe a reminder for us at the start of this new year that this stuff is real. This isn't kind of along with some of the other things we maybe talk about over Christmas, I tread carefully, but actually this is real history. This is real stuff that we're talking about here. The story of Jesus, and particularly here the story of John the Baptist, this is actual history that we're to engage with. And Luke's making it clear to his early readers that he's not about to tell a parable. This is stuff to be taken factually and seriously. It's also a reminder of the fact that the Jewish people were living under oppression. They had been occupied and ruled and defeated and exiled over and over the years. And here they were again under the rule of the Romans. Not the situation the Jewish people wanted to be in, but it's a reminder of the fact that they are living in a state of oppression. But perhaps more than that, and we lose this because it just looks like a list, but as a device used by a writer, what this would be like a drum roll. And if I could multitask, I would do a drum roll now while I was preaching, but I didn't want to do all that. But actually, it's like a drum roll that a reader of this kind of literature, when they hear this kind of introduction of he was in charge, it was at this time, there would have been this sense of, oh, right, this means something's coming. As when you hear a drum roll, you know something's coming. This is a word to the people. Something exciting is about to happen. Something dramatic is about to take place. And then as we get to the end of that drum roll, the dramatic thing is that the word of the Lord came to John. That's the dramatic build-up, that God's word has come. And it's come to John. And he goes into the country preaching this baptism of repentance. And people flock to see him to be baptized. And Luke makes the link to Isaiah, written years and years before, the prophecy made to people under similar situations to the Jewish people at the time, living under an oppressive rule, without things going as they wanted them to go, that the Lord was coming. And we read that quote, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. So as that was the vision for Isaiah and the people in Isaiah's time, that the Lord was coming and everything would change, so too here Luke saying this has been fulfilled now. And that whole thing of valleys being filled in and mountains made low and crooked roads becoming straight, it's almost like poetic language which just says that when the Lord comes, everything will change. This isn't a kind of marginal thing that's going to make a few changes in one area of society, but actually everything, the whole landscape that we live life by will change. The change that God will bring will be dramatic. It will be revolutionary. It will be turbulent. It will be long-lasting. So that's the vision, that when God comes, everything will be changed. It was the vision in Isaiah's time. It's now the vision in these people's time as well. And of course, we know that sense of the drum roll is building to Jesus coming. But people were expectant of this coming Messiah. People knew about this. This wasn't news. People knew about these old prophecies that one would come and everything would change. And so is it any wonder that they start to believe that John might be that person, the one who will bring about this upheaval? And so they gather around him. They flock to him. They're expectant that now could be the time for political revolution. Now could be the time to take up arms and storm the Romans and seize power. Finally, at last, their time has come. What a shock, maybe even disappointment, as they go and meet John. And he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Live the kind of life that really shows that you're sorry and that you're forgiven. Don't be complacent and just assume that you're part of the in crowd. Maybe dumbfounded, they ask, what should we do then? Well, the man with two tunics should share, and the one who has food should do the same. Become aware of what you have and share it. It's not more or less complicated than that. No escape clauses, no exceptions, no wriggle room,
just do it.
And then the tax collectors come along. Okay, what about us? Is there a more dramatic role for us in the revolution? Don't take more than you're required to. Be honest. Work with integrity. Be content. And then some soldiers, they ask, what should we do? Don't abuse your power. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't tread on people for your own good. It says later that John spoke in many ways to exhort people. There's almost this sense of every time a new group came with a question, he had an answer. So he told the people, he told the tax collectors, he told the soldiers. There's a sense that the builders could have come along and he'd have had something to say to them. And the teachers. And the curates. And the dads and the mums and the grandparents. For every people group, there's a call of how people were to live. I wonder how people reacted to this radical call. Because there was no political revolution suggested. There was no military coup. This was the ethical, moral transformation of individuals and of a society. I wonder if at times I'm a bit like the Jewish people that John was talking to. He said, don't just assume because Abraham's your father that's fine, that you're okay, that you're exempt from all of this. Because the calling of Abraham was to be blessed and be a blessing. It's the same for us as followers of Christ. We are blessed in Christ. We are forgiven. We're restored. We're loved. We have a hope and a future. But also we're called to bless others. I find myself in that category today where John says, don't just assume it's okay because you're in. Actually, there's a life you're called to lead as well. A good but challenging thing to think about at the start of this year. So if we've got any resolutions this year, I wonder what we can pick out from this text. What does the looking at what we've got and sharing it, giving it away with no wriggle room or exceptions. There's perhaps learning to distinguish between what we want and what we need. That was the challenge to the tax collectors, wasn't it? Don't just take what you want. You've got what you need. Same for the soldiers. Don't misuse your power. And of course, John is eventually imprisoned and beheaded because he spoke against corruption and evil in society. He took on the powers. Just as John had a different thing to say to these different groups, I think perhaps he might have a different thing to say to each of others. And I'll leave you to think through the application of this. The giving, not misusing power, speaking out against wrong. So here it is, there's this vision that God will come and everything will change. And in Jesus we see the inauguration of that. But it's still our vision today that the Lord is coming. And everything is going to change. And then we see the outworking of the vision, the generosity, the giving, and the care. And in the middle of it, the people who John is talking to here are these normal people who have been baptized and forgiven. And so as we think about this big vision of everything changing, and maybe that's what we need to think about this year, the total change God wants to see in our lives, that everything is brought under his lordship and control. That it's a total change when we live for God. But then there's the outworking, what people do. And in between the two are people. Forgiven, restored people. And John tells us that Jesus is coming and he will fill people with the Holy Spirit. So in between the vision of everything changing and how we live are people who are forgiven. And we've talked about that a bit already this morning. And at the start of this year, maybe it's just that we need to be reminded of the big vision of God and his kingdom. Maybe it's we need to think, how can I give more? And definitely it's, let's be forgiven, renewed, restored by God. Let's pray. Lord, help us to live our lives in a way which prepares a way for you to come in and to change us. That our world might be changed through you and through your work in us. Lord, help us to see how we can make practical changes this year in 2014. How we can live in a way which doesn't misuse our power, in a way which is generous and giving. And Lord, let us see that it starts with our sense of being forgiven and living lives which are in keeping with us being forgiven, loved, and renewed people. And so now as we worship, Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. As John promised the people, Jesus is coming. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you fill us to live the lives you call us to be resolute this year for you and for your kingdom.